Okay, so the theme for this year's World Children's Day celebration is inclusion for every child. So I love the way they centered the theme. Firstly, inclusion, and then as a format, meaning we need more inclusive spaces for children. We need children to be inclusive in every space. And then the second part of the theme is for every child, meaning that we want each and every child represented in every space, whether it's a child with disabilities, or whether it's a child that's black, whether it's a child that's white. We want a space where there's no discrimination against children. But then also shedding light on this theme, I think it's very important that we sometimes take back and look at the themes of previous years and how far we've come in ensuring that we leave out this theme. So I remember last year the theme for World Children's Day was reimagining a future, a positive future for every child, or there was part of this theme for last year. So how far have we come towards reimagining a positive future for every child, reimagining a positive education for every child? So it's very important we also look at those themes and see how we can then link the two themes with one another.
Yeah.
So I think we've done relatively great in including children in various different spaces. We have platforms like the Children's Parliament, we have platforms like the Junior Youth Council of Namibia, and also have international platforms we've seen for the first time at the Climate Change Conference organized by the United Nations. There was also a pavilion for children to actually join the platform. So we're doing quite well in including children in various spaces, although we could do more.
Yeah. Now, the day also aims to promote and celebrate children's rights like basic nutrition, shelter, basic healthcare services, as well as social services, just to name a few. Do you get a sense that children have a sound understanding of their rights?
Do children have a sound understanding of their rights? It depends on where exactly children are located. Having traveled the country, you find that children in some of the more urban towns have a far more better understanding or sound understanding of their rights, whereas you would compare it with children that come from the rural areas, these are our villages and farms, where children are not so aware of their rights. And why is this? This is not because, okay, there is a lack of information, but sometimes it's also because there's not really a realization of these children's rights. So if you tell a child that you have the right to food, but you don't give the child food, then it becomes difficult for a child to comprehend that he really has, or he or she really has that right. And apologies for taking far to rural areas. Even here in the urban areas, we see with children living on the streets. If you tell them that they have the right to shelter, but then at the end of the day, these children are on the streets, they do not really take that right and process these rights. So raising awareness and making sure that children are aware of the rights they have also comes with then giving children these rights or giving children platforms to access these rights. So children have a sound understanding based on the number of rights they have. That's what my answer would be at the end of the day.
Yeah. Now, how can we make sure that every child has access to information to know what their rights are?
How can we make sure that every child... We can really only do so much. We've done so much in terms of advocating on television, writing on newspaper articles, having sessions right now on radio where we speak about children's rights. However, to properly ensure that children are aware of their rights, of course, schools, we need to also be more inclusive of children's rights in schools. I think that's an area we are also lacking, so we could best implement that. But the best way you could teach a child of his or her rights by giving her his or her rights, that's the best way we could make sure that children are aware of their rights that they have, because as I mentioned, telling children they have all these rights, but they are not enjoying these rights, often leads to them really not digesting that they have these rights.
Yeah. Now, what does the Children's Parliament do to ensure that children's voices are actually heard?
So, with the Children's Parliament, what we do to ensure that children's voices are heard is we represent children on, firstly, the legislative platform, which is Parliament. So we gather in Parliament, we table motions on issues that children are facing, and we do, apart from obviously being in Parliament, we take it a step further, we visit different ministries, visit different branches of government, advocating for children's rights, constantly on different platforms, raising awareness on children's rights, and taking back again to what you call this, to the constituents, which are children, and we engage children at high schools, primary schools, constantly talking about the different issues they are facing and how best we could address these issues.
Yeah. Now, another issue is, of course, the COVID-19 pandemic. How do you think that children were coping or are coping during this pandemic?
Children were really hard hit by the COVID-19 pandemic. We saw with the different abuse cases. So, firstly, to answer your question, I don't think children were coping quite well with the COVID-19 pandemic. We saw an increase in suicide by children. We saw the rape epidemic flourish more under the COVID-19 pandemic. And we also saw the teenage pregnancy numbers increase under the COVID-19 pandemic. So it would really be an injustice for me to say that children were coping with the COVID-19 pandemic. However, we do know that it's been two to three years since the COVID-19 pandemic struck, and we are building up from that. We are being more resilient. We are recovering from all the negative effects of COVID-19. And we're back on track towards creating a future that we want for future children and, of course, for us as young people. However, now, challenges never end. Now we're faced with the issue of the climate crisis. Mm-hmm. And, inasmuch as it's a bittersweet moment, it's great to see children taking the lead in addressing these issues. However, sometimes we do deprive children of their childhood when they have to put on the adult pants and then be at the forefront of these issues. Because look at the COVID-19 pandemic. It was children that were innovative, that were resilient. Look at the climate crisis that we are facing now with climate change. At the forefront of the climate crisis are children that are advocating and asking the corporates and all the private sector and governments to take the climate crisis and the climate action far more seriously. So, yes, that would be an answer to your question.
Yeah. Now, in 2015, world leaders made a commitment to end all forms of violence against children by 2030 as part of the Sustainable Development Goals. Do you think progress has been made so far in this regard?
Okay, I'd like to scale it down to a national level and just focus on Namibia for this question.
Yeah.
Ending all forms of violence against children in Namibia, it's disheartening, and I don't think we'd be able to end all forms of violence in the next 5 years until 2030. And that's based on what I've assessed throughout the past years. We've seen an increase in child violence. How many days or every day that you open the newspapers or switch on the news, you see that children are constantly subjected to different forms of violence every single day, and this is not an over-exaggeration or over-sensationalizing the violence that is experienced by children. This is based on facts that happen every day, that are reported every day. So towards this, I don't think that we are anywhere close towards ending violence. However, I also like, in as much as identifying the problem, the solution towards ending violence, in as much as government has tried with legislation, with the Child Care and Protection Act, with the Convention on the Rights of the Child, with the African Charter on the Rights and the Welfare of the Child, and these are all forms of legal frameworks that aim to protect the child. However, at the end of the day, we have to look at what we as members of our community are doing towards protecting children from all forms of violence. Violence never happens. Violence against children never happens in a vacuum. It happens in our own homes, in our neighbors' homes, where we are present and where government officials are not always there present, or UNICEF or United Nations are not always present. So what are we doing as young adults? What are we doing as fellow children? What are we doing as parents? What are we doing as uncles and aunties?
Yeah.
So that children are safe from violence. So at the end of the day, I think it boils down, it really speaks to how involved we all are in our communities. And I would say that we're not doing enough in our community as young people, as children, and as adults, because this would then translate into more violence happening against children. So I strongly believe that if we all played our part in the community, we'd reach a far more closer step towards ending violence against children by 2030. So it is possible. Let me not say it's impossible. It is possible to end all forms of violence against children by 2030, but we need a strong sense of community activism. No, not community activism. Being active in our community by every member of the community towards ensuring that we end violence against children by 2030.